560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And we are so glad you are with us today. You give us a reason to be here and be joy-filled, so welcome.
Yes, you do. And this is an amazing, amazing day that the Lord has created. So let us rejoice and be glad. The best way to start off today is with some prayer. So why don't we do that? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, guide us during this time. So we best serve, love, and honor you. As I say, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And we got some exciting stuff right around the corner. Like Memorial Day, but I think you did something you were pretty excited about yesterday, Allison.
I sure did. So Mary, my oldest, goes to Bosco, and they had a musical called Working, and they have another showing today at 4 o'clock. I know the 7 o'clock one is sold out. So if anybody is in the Forsyth area,
you're scalping tickets, is what you're saying?
No, I'm like, it was really good. I mean, it's so impressive. A lot of those students are very, very talented with music and dancing, and it's great. They have all the different students come and do different tasks, whether they're in the back, working the mics, working the lights.
So does everyone have an actual role in the play, or some people are in tech, some people are
correct
doing
some
other things?
Yeah. Yes, no, absolutely. And then there are some students that did yearbook that are not involved in this, but toward the beginning they chose what they were going to do. So, but it's so neat just to see all the talent come together.
And you know, it's, I mean, like the body of Christ, right?
Amen.
We have different talents that are absolutely essential in the execution of sharing the gospel message. Similarly, you know, every person has a role in the prosperity of this play. That's really, really cool. You know, I remember that too. They told me, Josh, I think you got a great voice, but for this musical, this was when I was in middle school, for this musical, we really need a janitor. I was like, wait, what?
What?
I don't want to be a janitor. I don't want to be a tech. No, I'm just kidding. But
I'm going, Josh.
I do remember when I was in middle school, I really wanted this role in this. We had a play, and my acting chops just weren't really up to par then.
Yeah.
But so I didn't. I think I got kind of featured. But over the years, some of the skills built up, and I have had a few things, a few spots on TV, so that's been kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's mind-boggling. But even like with you, Josh, with your comedy, I don't know how in the world people can memorize all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling, like all the different musicals, all the different words and things they were saying, and even you when you're up there. It's really impressive.
Yeah, I heard a friend of mine who's a comedian say, because I asked him, and I thought this was pretty interesting, because sometimes I might, you know, run through it 4, 5, 6 times, whatever it is. But I said, how many times do you work on it, like memorize a bit or something before you bring it to the stage? And he said, honestly, I probably do about 30 times.
Wow.
Over and over and over and over. And I thought, wow, I need to step up my game. But what I really liked that he said, I thought was super cool. I said, well, you put all this work into memorizing it, right? When you're in the middle of a bit and you've really memorized it and put that kind of exhaustive effort into preparation, what do you do if it's just nosediving? And he said, you know what? I embrace the bomb and I just ride the train all the way till the end.
I mean, you could have it memorized, but when you get up there, I mean, hello, have you ever just went blank? Like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh. I actually did that on TV one time, unfortunately, and I really did do that on television, and that's a whole different story for an opening segment that I prefer not to tell.
That has to exist on YouTube somewhere.
You know what?
I want to hear about it. We'll have to put this in one of our opening segments.
It did exist on, like, what is it, the iTunes store or something like that, recently checked, and that television station has since, I don't know if they didn't renew or what, prayer answered. You can no longer find it on iTunes. So,
so we'll just have to hear
God
it from
is good.
You.
It exists somewhere, I promise you.
On a computer I have, maybe, but...
love it.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I don't love it. No, I mean, I'm horrified. I mean, that, because I would... Yeah, that is just mind-boggling.
It's pretty scary. We're going to say...
I'm just going to say real quick, Allison, you're not going to be here tomorrow.
I am not. So my youngest is going to be going into middle school, and they've got a graduation tomorrow from 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. So you guys will be... holding the four without me.
So it's going to be Dave and Josh.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully we have a show when we come back Tuesday.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean,
I'll be praying. You guys are going to do great.
Without the maternal genius of Allison, Dave and I will just be in here in our PJs eating Spam or something.
And not the one who's always laughing, right? No. That's the key. You're not going to have the happy laugher here.
Well, exactly. You are the... If every crowd was as good as you, Allison, I would be a very, very big deal. But we're all big deals in God's eyes. Speaking of big deals, we got some big deal people on today's show. Father Rivak, priest of St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, is going to be on with us talking about today's gospel reading. Also, Jeannie Dennis, parishioner of Christ the King, will be helping us get acquainted with Saint Rita. And there's a cool story behind that and how it relates to her. Remember our scripture verse for the week, people, John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So you should also love one another. Bob Spidell from Holy Cross Catholic Church in Atlanta will be talking about his troop support ministry. Really, really cool. You can find out more about that at Holy Cross Atlanta /troop support ministry. But next, our friend Larry Shower, a parishioner of St. Catherine's in Siena, is reflecting on his time in the Army and how it relates to Memorial Day.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Larry Shower, our dear friend, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena and the head of Atlanta Catholic Fellowship. They've got a lot of people that they are serving over there. And Larry, it's such an honor to have you here, especially as we near Memorial Day. You yourself are a veteran. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about that?
Certainly. I graduated from West Point in the class of 1990 and branched armor. And soon after that, I found myself the big sandbox down in Southwest Asia.
Wow.
Called Desert Storm.
One, you graduated from West Point. That's like the Harvard of military schools. You're really being groomed for leadership, for very specialized training. So first off, thank you for your heroism, your service, and your courage. You were a practicing Catholic in the military as well. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So can you tell us what it meant to serve and how faith played a role in that journey?
Faith is very important, especially in the military. A lot of soldiers, it's the first time away from home, and having God to reach out to and grab onto is very important.
What does prayer and faith look like in that kind of environment, especially when you're in, you said, South Asia, is that correct?
Yeah, prayer is important. I remember one of my favorite memories of being down in Desert Storm was Easter Sunday. We had a big shortage of priests and chaplains. So we didn't have a Catholic mass where we were because we were in armor, so we were very spread out. Mm-hmm. We did have a Christian Easter service out in the desert where Christianity was illegal.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. And I'm sure that took some courage as well. That's incredible. Y'all were all united to Christ as a band of brothers, realizing that y'all needed each other. Most importantly, you needed the Lord. Is that right?
Definitely. We need the Lord. And it was a small group of us, probably fewer than 20, and we're out there in the desert. And I don't remember how we got there. It was probably Humvee, but we were just standing there. We had our service, and it's just very enlightening.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, what's something perhaps civilians might not realize about what military service demands, like spiritually or emotionally?
It's just... very difficult. It's very challenging because you have the whole world coming at you. Think about going to college and the forces of the culture and the world trying to tear you away from God. Well, it's that much and even more in the military.
So here you are in the middle of the desert, and while most people there have tremendous courage and they're willing to, you know, sacrifice for their country, perhaps not everybody shares the same ethical or moral compass as you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, and that's the way it is everywhere. I mean, you can find that inside the church itself, right? So how do you hold fast to your values?
It's just a matter of reaching and knowing that God is our ultimate strength and our hope of salvation, and just holding on to the cross.
Yeah, that's a great, great message. Now, when you were in West Point, were you also in a routine of faith as well?
Yes, sir. I was very active at going to Mass in the church there, and I was part of the cadet Catholic choir for 4 years.
Oh,
nice. So it's like the that's like the Catholic military scola.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow, that's rocking, man. That's beautiful stuff. So, when you're in West Point, is there a larger faith life there, would you say, you know, core group?
Definitely. Most cadets at West Point are involved in their faith and going to church services, usually weekly, if not more.
Wow, that's amazing. So, I don't know. I guess I'm wondering, as Catholics, especially as we you know, around the Memorial Day time, what are your thoughts on, like, how can we best pray for those who are currently serving?
Excellent question. I would say just pray and ask God to give the individual the grace that they need to persevere and to carry the cross.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you are over there, regardless if it's your time in West Point or if you are deployed, I'm wondering, was there any spiritual consolations you got, or particular prayer routines, spiritual direction? Was there something in your regimen of faith that you felt gave you the courage, the strength, and the grace to keep persevering like you're talking about?
I would say just came moment by moment as I needed. It wasn't any aha moments.
Yeah. I think that's really important too, because what you're talking about, especially when you were in the middle of, you know, you said the desert and y'all are having this group Christian service, right? So you could have been discouraged and said, oh, there's not a church nearby, or this is in a country where Christianity is even legal. But Jesus did say, where two or more are gathered, I am there.
Amen.
You brought the church to the desert.
Amen.
Yeah, and I think that is so critical. I mean, the Lord himself talks about he's going to send us the counselor. I hope we are near a tabernacle, near a mass, near a priest, but at the same time, in these kinds of dire circumstances, you know, God's grace was front and center, and you guys collectively took that initiative to step out and stand up for God, especially on the most important day of the liturgical calendar. You made a way in this circumstance, and it's, you said, perhaps your favorite memory of Desert Storm.
Amen, definitely.
I'm wondering, does Memorial Day mean something to you personally, given your experience in service?
Yes. As you know, it is specifically for those who have died in service to their country. I do have people I've known who have died while wearing the uniform. So I try to reflect on that and just on their memories and their service.
Pray for them. Pray for the repose of their soul. We can make them our Mass intention as well. And you especially, with this, you know, really deep emotional connection to these people, I'm sure that just influences your spirituality and your gratitude towards them. Any last thoughts on how listeners can honor those who have given their lives beyond parades and flags?
Yes, I heard this on, I believe it was on The Quest a year or two ago, that Memorial Day is probably the most sacred holiday that is a secular holiday on our calendar.
Wow.
So, Larry, what can we do to help those that are serving for our country? Is there anything that we can do? Send them food, send them any type of care package boxes to show our appreciation for what they are doing, putting their lives on the line, you know, being in the military.
Oh, definitely. Well, the very least, you could pray for them in daily prayers. And also send them letters, send them packages, especially those who are overseas. It'd be a big help.
What a great thing to do on Memorial Day, right? To send letters and write letters for those that are serving.
So the most sacred secular holiday on the calendar. So we need to be lifting them up on this very special day. Keep them in your prayers, absolutely. Especially, though, it doesn't need to be a morbid, like Father Colin was talking about with me. It doesn't need to be this morbid anchor on our hearts. It can also be a day of tremendous gratitude. We are experiencing freedom and fellowship as a result of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you so much, Larry Schauer. We are so grateful for you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Jeannie Dennis, parishioner at Christ the King, will be helping us get acquainted with St. Rita. Bob Spidell from Holy Cross Catholic Church will be talking to us about his troop support ministry. But next, our friend and a fan favorite, Father Michael Reback, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, will be unpacking today's gospel reading.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:19.
Father Reback, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. Hey, everybody. Today we are reading from John 15:19-11. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep, super short gospel there, but, you know, just packed with stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of encouraging because I think that we do emphasize suffering a lot, Father, but a lot of times, and I don't know if it's always the best sales pitch, we really undersell the joy.
Mm.
And isn't Jesus saying that there is an alignment? Even with the sacrifice, there'll be an abiding joy that fuels us in this journey.
That's right. Because the sacrifice was in alignment of the Father's will, the fact he can't get around the fact that he was suffering, but he was joyful in that suffering. And that's a really weird, our understanding of that is so shallow that it's really hard for us to understand how a person can suffer joyfully.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand that's the Father's will and I want what the Father wants, therefore I want this suffering. So I'm glad I have it and I have satisfaction in it, mm-hmm. right? It's interesting, you know, we talk about people running around saying, you know, all you need is love and love is love and blah, 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 blah. But here Jesus says, "As the Father loves me, so also I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love." So conformity of lifestyle, an understanding of self, a relationship with Christ, these are all things that are necessary in order to be in Christ's love and to therefore love as Christ loves and to love the Father as the Father loves the Son, mm-hmm. right? So this isn't just that, it's not some sort of nebulous love affection that Jesus is talking about here. It's the kind of love that is so contextualizing of everything that we are that we could say with St. Augustine, "Love and then do as you will." If you love this way, you do not have to worry about any, and this is what Jesus was trying to get across and St. Paul was trying to get across in all of his letters. Like, you don't need the law anymore, guys, because you love. Like, if you love right, you don't need the law. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you need the law for? To navigate you in your immaturity to do the right thing when love does not compel you to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you love perfectly, as the Father loves the Son, and the Son has loved us, and we love the Son back that way, and our neighbor as ourself, then the law is really superfluous. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there because right is still right and wrong is still wrong, but you're never going to bump into the walls, right?
Yeah. And there's this interconnectivity that I think secular society misses, that you miss unless you are really locked into the Christian message, right? So people love the idea of God being love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, because they think it lets them get away with whatever they want.
Yeah, but they don't like the idea of conditional love. Now, what do I mean? That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. His love is eternal. But in order to fully step into, embrace, and experience that love in a way that will fuel every aspect of your life and clarify and crystallize your mission here on earth that will lead us to heaven, God willing, we have to abide in his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that the abide part is the message gets diluted.
Yeah. Yes. And that is, I mean, that's a word that you could just close your eyes and meditate to, or at least I can. I love that word to meditate on, abiding in God's love. There's like a protection, a safety, an immersion, you know, and a warmth and a security with that. And there's also a confirmation of an identity in that, to abide in God's love. Mm-hmm. God's love gives me an understanding of who I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without that love, that particular love, not just some sort of secular love, but without his love, because he made me, he will love me the way is proper to me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the way I am loved by God tells me who I am. If I don't have that, then I start to forget or lose my own identity. I start to get confused and think I'm someone else, or I'm something else, or that I can be something else. But to abide in God's love, to receive his love as the Son perfectly received the love from the Father, means that I am informed by that love.
Yeah.
I don't inform that love, but rather it informs me, right? And there's a great sense of comfort and security in that sense that I can know who I am. Mm-hmm. Whoever I discover I am from God's love is going to be great, because God loves it, right?
Amen. Yeah.
So what if someone is not fully aware of their true identity? What could they do?
Well, I mean, this is where God entrusts his work to his apostles and disciples. And he says in the Great Commission, just before he ascends to heaven, go out to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and proclaiming the good news, mm-hmm. right? The first job of a priest is to preach. That's not an insignificant commission. You think, oh, well, the greatest thing a priest does is say Mass. And that might be true. But the first thing a priest does is to preach. And not just a priest. I use it, though, to set up the priority here, that even for a priest who can say Mass, who can offer the sacrifice, who can forgive sins, the first thing that he has to concern himself with is preaching the gospel. And as Christians, the first thing that we need to consider for ourselves, simply because we're Christian, is preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. because people don't know it. People are lost. They're sad. They're depressed. They're alone. They're lost. They're confused. They're abused. And to hear the fullness of the gospel preached, it says, I know who you are and I love who you are because I made you and I want you for myself. Like, if people really heard that, mm-hmm. heard that in a sincere way from people who proclaim, who profess to know that for themselves, I don't think we'd be in a lot of the crisis that we're in today. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Father? I think there's something, a great just centerpiece. One, as you said, abiding in God's love. That's a great—
Oh, you said abiding in God's love. You nailed that one.
But you're talking about meditating on that, right? And if it's, you know, John who looked Jesus in the eyes and determined that God is love, to abide in God's love is really to just abide in God, because it's not a secondary characteristic. Mm-hmm. He is love. And the result of that is joy. So, I mean, I think ultimately, Jesus says, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you. And so the ultimate purpose of God's command is not slavery, being burdened. It's great joy.
Great point.
It's a path to liberation.
Yep. I came that you might have freedom for freedom's sake, Christ says. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, don't use your freedom for the sake of the flesh. Don't return to the acts of the flesh in your freedom, but use freedom for eternal rewards or something like that. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, thinking back on that word abide, could you imagine how wonderful it would be, and perhaps how wonderful it will be, when we're just perpetually comfortable in God's company?
Mm. That's awesome.
Like, we're just so comfortable with who he is and who we know him to be, because he's conformed us so closely to him, mm-hmm. himself, that we're not like looking over our shoulder at the boogeyman God who's going to smite us for doing the wrong thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just totally, totally comfortable in his presence. Not anxious, not anticipating messing up, not even worried about getting anything wrong, because we're in his presence and we're so happy to be there, that we've been so informed by his presence that we're just, I mean, just imagine. I mean, that's going to be so amazing. That's the joy that we kind of get a foretaste of as Christians in the church, even in the midst of our sufferings, that we have joy, because in the sufferings we're learning to conform ourselves to God's will, so that when we get to heaven, we're so perfectly conformed to his will that we're just totally comfortable in his presence forever.
Beautiful. So, Father, what's a good takeaway for today's gospel?
that what God, the reason God loves you is for you to know who you are, the value you have, and what it means for him to want you to be with him, what it means for us to spend time in his company and be comfortable in his company. That's what we hope for. And the fulfillment of that hope is what leads to just eternal joy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Father.
Thank you so much, Father Rivak from St. Clair of Assisi. And by the way, you can check out some past episodes of his podcast, The Truth Unplugged with Father Tim Nadalski, pastor of St. Clair of Assisi as well. God bless you. Thank you, Father.
Ciao.
In his first general audience as Pope, Pope Leo XIV called for humanitarian aid to be allowed into Gaza, urging an end to hostilities that are harming children, the elderly, and the sick. He resumed catechesis on the Jubilee theme, Jesus Christ, Our Hope, a teaching begun by the recent or late Pope Francis. Reflecting on the parable of the sower from Matthew 13, Pope Leo said, "The soil represents our hearts and the world, the church, and all communities. The Pope described the sower as wasteful in a good way, scattering seed everywhere, symbolizing how God generously offers his word to everyone, regardless of their readiness. He emphasized God doesn't wait for us to be perfect soil. He trusts us anyway. That trust can stir in us the desire to change." Pope Leo referenced Van Gogh's painting, The Sower at Sunset, saying, "The sun reminds us that even when God seems absent, he is still moving history." He urged the faithful, "Don't be discouraged if you feel like rocky soil. Pray for God to make your heart ready for his word." Before the address, he blessed the crowds in St. Peter's Square, waving from the Popemobile. This story courtesy of CatholicVote.com. Closing us out, Bob Spidell from Holy Cross Catholic Church will be talking about his troop support ministry. But next, our dear friend Jeannie Dennis, parishioner at Christ the King, will be helping us get acquainted with St. Rita.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:33, and we are so delighted to have Jeannie Dennis here with us. She is a parishioner at Christ the King in Atlanta, and she is going to help us get acquainted with St. Rita. And I know you've got a beautiful story to share.
So, thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for your traffic expertise, because it helped me here.
Praise God.
Nice.
Yes. I know. Today we do celebrate St. Rita's feast day, and she was a beautiful, beautiful saint. A saint of a lot of peace and prayer. She is an Augustinian saint, Augustinian of the Augustinian order of nuns, and just that order in particular. And how wonderful that we can share that now with our new Pope.
Yes.
Which is very, very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
There is a priest, and I fail to know his name, that travels our country and I think actually internationally, and he travels with relics of all different kinds of saints. And he said, "Sometimes saints find you." And I can attest to that.
Wow.
She found me, actually. I knew nothing about her, never even really knew her name. And this was many, many years ago. And I served a number of years at the cathedral in various ministries. And one of those ministries was for the Adoration Chapel. Mm. And a dear friend of mine and I, and this was under the leadership of Archbishop Donahue. And we used to do guardian appreciation dinners for all of our guardians every other year. And so we were writing a letter for the Archbishop to approve so that we could send the letter out to all the guardians as an invitation. And in doing so, I was going through a lot of different holy cards and different things like that. And I came across this card, St. Rita. Never heard of her, and it almost literally stuck in my hand. So I put it to the side. Later, I said, "I'll look at her. I'll find out about more about her." So as months and days and months unfolded, So many things kept coming across my path. One of the nurses I used to work with gave me a movie, The Rookie, and I would encourage everyone to look at this movie. It's a true story.
Yeah.
It opens up with nuns walking across the desert praying to Saint Rita.
Oh my gosh.
So over the years, things kept coming to me, and eventually she got me. And in prayer one day, I said, I will name my business after you.
Wow.
Had no idea what I was talking about, had no idea what that meant.
Wow.
But eventually that led me to naming my own business after St. Rita. So, but she was a wonderful nun. She grew up, actually, she, you know, some people ask me, was she real? You know, she'd come up to me, is this a real person? Yes, it was a real person. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Italy in the Umbria region of Cassia. She is an incorrupt saint, and wow, you can go there today to see her. Her parents, at a very young age, wanted her to be married. They had her at a later age in life, mm-hmm, and so they wanted her to be married and be taken care of. She never wanted that. She wanted to just live for Jesus.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to give her life to him. But she was obedient to her parents. She did so, and it was to an abusive man. She continued to pray for his conversion. They had two twin boys, and along the path of their marriage, her husband was murdered, and her sons wanted to avenge the murderer. And she prayed to God that this would not happen, that this sin would not be on their soul, and they both got ill, and they passed away.
Wow.
So, you know, so many things about her are so miraculous,
yeah,
which is why I'm sure she is known as the Saint of the Impossible. Mm. She had the stigmata of the thorn in her forehead. She received that in prayer before our crucified Lord. She
wow
received that in her forehead. And the Augustinian nuns, and I'll retract this a little bit, but I wanted to say the Augustinian nuns were going to visit the Pope at some point when she did get into the order, and she wanted to go with them, but they had her stigmata wrapped because it bled, so
yeah,
they had to maintain that part of the stigmata. And she really, really, really wanted to go with her sisters to Rome. And the Lord removed the thorn, allowed her to travel with them. And when she got back, it came right
wow
back. So it just,
my
so
gosh,
many things.
Wow.
On her passing deathbed, she told a family member, please go to our family property and pick me the rose. And it was in the middle of winter with snow, and her family member said, well, I don't think there's going to be a rose. And they went, and
oh,
there was
gosh
a rose that was right there for her.
Wow.
I know. So many things. So many things. She's known as the Saint of the Impossible, Saint of troubled marriages, mm-hmm, Saint of broken relationships.
Wow.
Those are a lot of the first things that I think people will resonate with, perhaps.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Super. I mean, and it's really cool to see a saint, and especially, I think, someone in religious life. You see this, especially when on these deep lookbacks, where you might see a religious sister or religious mother, and they had a family before, and the mm-hmm family didn't make it. And they just felt, okay, well, you know, the Lord is calling me all to himself in this season. And it's interesting because there's a new degree of relatability,
mm-hmm,
right? It's they've got all this
well
life
said
experience.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think that's an encouragement as an intercessor, right? Perhaps we can feel connected in a special way with that saint in a multitude of life circumstances.
She herself had a devotion to Saint, oh my goodness, Saint John, Saint
the Cross.
Yes, and Saint Tolentine. What was his name? I can't remember.
Oh.
But yeah, she when she wanted to get into the order, she was challenged with that. She had lost her husband, lost her sons, and went through a tough time of depression.
Oh.
And she kept wanting to go. She would make bread, feed the hungry, kept trying to take things to the convent. And her patron saints, and this was another miracle, her patron saints lifted her during sleep, and they put her through those iron gates. She ended up in the convent's courtyard, and they thought, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
This is she's time. It's time for her to be with us. So there's so she's strong. She is courageous. She's brave. She's smart. She's determined, and all those things that I think that we are called to be as we strive for a life of sainthood and holiness. She is a role model. She's such a role model. In my logo for my business, Bob Allen, who created the logo, I wanted a subtle, other than her name, a subtle representation of her suffering. You know, we all are called to that, to suffer as saints and as God's children. There is a subtle representation of the crown of thorns in my logo to really represent her. Yeah.
And can you share with us quickly about your business? Because
it's a very tasty business. It found me, just like St. Rita's found me. It found me, yes, briefly. Something I'd done for many years, and my love language is to give people food and to take them things and make cakes. Yes. And so we make pound cakes, and God said, this is what you're going to do. And 2009 was a life-altering year for me, where I lost everything, my job, my mother, things like that, you know, within a very short time. So I could relate to St. Rita, right? Yes. Losing everything and going through a time of search, a time of reinventing yourself. So, yes, that's what we do. And we've been going strong because of her intercession and the love of my community and people.
And it's called St. Rita's Cakes. Is that correct?
St. Rita's Cakes, yes.
Well, maybe if you ever want to explore the Mediterranean side of things, could you just do St. Rita's Pitas? Because that sounds kind of, it rolls off the tongue.
You know, we've been looking for another little facet to raise the bar a little bit. Maybe that's a great idea.
It just has a flavor to it. But thank you so much for all you do. First off, for enlightening us about St. Rita,
yes.
And for saying yes to God's call, especially inside and outside the church, right? Because what you're doing is everyday evangelization, and that is such a gift to share with others.
And yes, a delight. I've known Jeannie for a long time front best at the cathedral, and you are just a
Allison,
delight, and you exude Christ.
I remember those days.
They were special days.
Yeah, they were very special days.
Yeah.
Forming. We are formation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, where can people go to get more information about your business?
Online, stritascakes.com. I would like to say a little prayer.
Please.
We do a little bit of work with, and today is a big celebration with the National Shrine of St. Rita in Philadelphia.
Ah.
We do a lot of work with them, and it's been great getting to know them. Actually, on the pledge drive, Dave, you'll remember this. We had them on air on our last pledge drive, but they sent me this prayer. So I would love to read this if you don't mind.
Yes.
Yesterday they sent this, and today's big deal with them up there. They give out roses. They have mass every 2 hours.
Wow.
It's just really acknowledged a lot for St. Rita in Philadelphia at the National Shrine. But they sent this prayer, and I thought it was really beautiful that I would like to share with others. Oh, glorious St. Rita, during your entire life on earth, you found your happiness by following the will of our Heavenly Father. Help me this day to trust in God's designs for me and to give myself to Him as you did, without fear, without counting the cost. May I be generous in serving the needs of others, patient in difficulty, and forgiving towards those who injure me. Be with me so that I may accept the mystery of the cross of Jesus and may come to experience its power to heal and save. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
In the name of
the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Jeannie Dennis from Christ the King. We are so grateful for you. You are such a light to this world.
Grateful for the quest and all of you. Very grateful.
Thank you. Amen. On the horizon, Bob Spidell from Holy Cross Catholic Church in Atlanta will be talking about his troop support ministry.
I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:48.
Bob Spidell, he has a ministry at Holy Cross called the Troop Support Ministry, and I am so happy to have him here with us today. So, Bob, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I am excited you are here. We spoke in the past, and it was so neat learning about your ministry at Holy Cross. And I just wanted to share this with others, because I know there are going to be people out there that might have a family member that is a serviceman or woman. And I know there might be some parishes out there that would love to take on this ministry. So I am happy to have you here to learn more. So Bob, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord led you to create this troop support ministry at Holy Cross?
Well, Allison, I'm a retired Army officer. I spent 30 years in the Army, most of which was in Germany, and I deployed to Desert Storm and to Iraqi Freedom just prior to my retirement in 04. I'm a member of Holy Cross Church. I was on a pilgrimage with the church to Italy in 2008, and one of the members of our church fell. I gave some assistance, but she thought it was more assistance than I thought it was. And so we kind of watched after her over the course of the pilgrimage. And then when we returned to the States, I was with some veteran friends at Matthew's Cafeteria in Tucker, Georgia, and we were packing boxes, and there happened to be a journalist from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who saw us and wrote a story about us sending packages to veterans.
Wow.
And Eleanor saw this interview and decided that it might be a good idea for Holy Cross to send some packages to troops. So Eleanor and I talked. We briefed the parish council on a plan to do that. And the parish council came back and said, well, why don't we just create a ministry? And so we did. And in October of 2008... we started the ministry. We collected at the beginning of the month, and we sent care packages to troops. Mm-mm. And we've been doing it since October 2008. And to date, we have sent over 4,500 care packages to troops deployed everywhere from Djibouti to Iraq and Afghanistan and now Eastern Europe. The Ukraine crisis.
Wow, what a treat. I bet those servicemen and women are just grateful to know that they are loved and they are getting these packages.
Yeah, we get great thank you notes from the troops and from the Red Cross and USOs, who we also send boxes to. One of the troops at one time sent us a note. He says, thank you so much. God bless you. But please don't send me another box. Send one to my buddy instead, because he never gets mail from home. And we responded and said, no, we're sending you a box, but we will add your buddy to our list.
Oh, I love that. So why is it so important? Why is it so important to have that ministry at your parish?
It has really become a very popular ministry. We get donations every month that really surprise us and continue to grow despite the fact that we have pulled out of Afghanistan and for the most part out of Iraq. We have troops deployed to Eastern Europe that are thankfully still in a peaceful situation, but the parish members want to continue supporting. So we are not only sending care packages, but every month we send a donation to one of the charities that support veterans and military members. And I carefully go over that list of charities. So we send a check every month to them, and then in December we'll send a check to the Air Force and the Army and the Marine Corps, Navy Marine Corps aid societies for their needs to help out, especially spouses and family members who have people deployed.
Wow, that is so wonderful. Because I'm sure the families of those that have loved ones overseas, I'm sure it's challenging when you're back at home raising families, you know, without your spouse.
It's very challenging. And frequently they have an issue with rent. It may be only for a month or so. But those organizations help take care of them, at least in the temporary mode, until they can get a permanent solution to whatever problem they may have.
Wow. So, Bob, what type of support do you all give to the servicemen and women, like in your little boxes, or what type of outreach?
What we do with the boxes is a combination of personal hygiene items, as well as snacks and things that might be difficult for them to be able to get, especially those in more remote sites. Mm-hmm. Candy, chips, Slim Jims, are some of the snack items. And then we send toothpaste, shampoo, soap, toothbrushes as part of the personal hygiene parts in the package. And then we send a letter from the pastor, or signed by me for the pastor, asking them to give us feedback if there's special needs that they may need, or that any recommendations on changes.
Because again, you want to take care of them. I mean, they're taking care of us. We want to give them this, all the support that they need and all those treats, because that's not something that they normally probably have readily available.
Yeah, in some places it's extremely remote, like Djibouti. And so they are very happy just about with anything we send. Aww. We'll also send like little raviolis and microwave popcorn and stuff if they happen to have a microwave. But some of them don't even have that. So the chips, Oreos, those are the things that they really like. And we send a prayer square. Mm. We have a square that we put a crucifix inside. The ladies in the parish sew 2 pieces of cloth, usually in a red, white, and blue configuration.
Yeah.
And there's a note attached to it and says, when you touch this crucifix, you know the people of Holy Cross are praying for you.
Oh, I love that. So you're feeding them, you're giving them, you know, different treats to snack on, but also you're bringing Christ to them as well.
Yeah, we send rosaries.
Nice.
We send other items. I've even had Protestant chaplains get back with me and ask for more of the crucifix squares. We're working on them, too.
That is beautiful work, spreading the love. I mean, again, this might be the first time maybe those Protestant pastors have ever dealt with these different items or seen a crucifix or realized how important, and then they see their troops opening them, and the joy that comes out of them, I'm sure, is beautiful. Okay, if we have a family member who's overseas in the military, could they get added to your list?
Absolutely. They can send it to me at spidelr@AOL.com. We'd be more than happy to add them to our list.
If there's another parish out there that is listening and wants to bring this to their parish, what would they do?
First of all, there's no problem with them contacting me at that same email address or through Holy Cross itself, or Eleanor, who's really the brains behind this operation. And we'll be glad to talk to them about how we started and the steps we took and the changes we've made over the years, because the missions have changed. Mm-hmm. We don't have nearly as many troops deployed to remote sites and dangerous sites as we had before, but we still have some. And our focus is a little bit more now on Red Crosses and USOs, because they have the ability to distribute the items that we send them. And so we'd be more than happy to assist anybody who has questions or would like to start a ministry like our troop support ministry.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with you regarding volunteer opportunities, they could also go to the Holy Cross website to find your ministry information there as well, correct?
Yes, they can.
And then your email, spell that last name for me.
Yes, spidelr@AOL.com.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your wonderful ministry at Holy Cross.
Thank you very much. A pleasure being here today.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:56.
It is.
And what a beautiful morning it's been.
It is. We got it's going to be rain this weekend.
Ooh, that's not beautiful.
Yeah.
And Dave, you showed me a really moving picture that I think we're going to have to unpack tomorrow on the show about essentially,
real quick. Every year in Decula, they have the Memorial Day Parade, and they have every person who has fallen in the line of duty, every military person fallen in the line of duty, they make these big placards.
Wow.
And they get volunteers to carry each placard. And it's very, honestly, you get tears in your eyes when you see it.
Yeah.
And that's going on again this Monday, 10 a.m. is the start of the parade. Then they have, like, candy and stuff too that they throw out from other parts of the parade, but that's a very solemn part of the parade.
Well, the importance of remembering those that have died for our country. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important. Important.
And I've carried those placards too in the parade, and it is. I mean, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it.
Wow,
it's so moving. When I went to Normandy, this will be 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You go and you just see a sea of crosses out there. Some Jewish stars, right? The American cemetery at Normandy, average age 21 years old.
Yep. And even even the beach, just being on the beach, just knowing.
A group of kids saved the world.
Yeah.
Well, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.